Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Well, it's awfully quiet here at Highmark Stadium in Orchard Park, New York. And it wasn't for most of the day, but it started to get that way in the fourth quarter. He's Dale Lally. I'm Dan Kovacevic. We're from DK Pittsburgh Sports. Steelers beat the Bills 23-16, and wow.
Yeah, I mean,
That's a wow, Dale.
Coming into this game, I thought the Steelers had maybe a 25% chance of winning this game. They needed to get some kind of defensive score, some kind of special team score, something along those lines.
Some brilliance on the coaching staff of Buffalo's part.
That too. And, you know, as a friend of mine always says, the other team has coaches too.
Yes, in this case, that didn't work out real well for the Bills.
It didn't. The Steelers come in here and shock the Buffalo Bills, a team that was in the AFC Championship game last year, a team that a lot of people, including myself, are picking to be the best team in the AFC this year. And
they did so in front of this part can't be underscored enough, in front of 73,000 rabid fans. The last time that the Steelers and Dale and I were here, the whole game was like this. There was nobody here. If you have not been to Buffalo for either a football or a hockey game, then you won't fully appreciate why Ben Roethlisberger kept making multiple references, as he did, to how the rookies overcame this atmosphere.
You know, we had a lot of first-timers out there, you know, and that's a hostile place. Those fans are awesome. They were loud. It was very, very loud. Pat grabbed me after. I was like, holy cow, that's loud out there. I said, yeah. That's welcome to the NFL. You know, a lot of environmental factors, and that is, that's fans, that's weather, that's a really good defense, a good team. And you know what? I'm proud of the guys because they didn't really, I hate to use a Coach Tomlinson, but they didn't blink, right? They stood up in the face of not playing well early. We didn't make the big mistake either. That was huge. We didn't make a big mistake early. We didn't do what we wanted to do, but we didn't turn the ball over. We didn't do anything catastrophic. So the fact that you come in at halftime, it wasn't like there was a big rah-rah. No one really spoke and acted crazy. It was just, okay, this is what we're going to do in the second half. Let's go do it.
And Dale, that's really a big part of this, wasn't it?
Yeah, and as he noted, and I noted in my preview, it wasn't just the rookies. You had guys like Chase Claypool and Kevin Dotson who hadn't played in front of humans.
Not in the pros. Yeah. I mean, Chase Claypool played in front of a few people
at
Notre
Dame. Kevin
Dotson
played at Louisiana.
I mean,
no offense to Louisiana, but they never played in front of 70,000+ fans.
Well, not these people.
Right.
This is a different crew here.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean,
when
Chase Claypool was playing at Notre Dame, the Notre Dame crowd was probably pretty quiet when they were on offense.
Right. But Dale, that to me was the biggest component for the offense's turnaround, because we did see the jitters. We saw Najee Harris tip the ball up to himself not once but twice and not come down with it. One of those could have been a touchdown. We saw some jitters maybe even from the most experienced guy on the offense early on. But then they did get it together, didn't they?
They did.
To an extent.
You know, I can't discount the fact that Buffalo is a good football team. I know a lot of people in that first half were, oh, my God, the sky's falling. This might be the worst team in the division, blah, blah, blah. You got to wait and see what happens, halftime adjustments, those kind of things.
Yeah.
They came out, they ran the ball more effectively in the second half.
Yeah.
It still wasn't great, but they got positive gains in the second half when they did run the football. And they found some things that worked. They started picking on, you know, the other corners not named Tre'Davious White, and it made that work. They also incorporated the tight ends a couple of times in the second half.
Tight ends did show up in the second half, did they not? As I noted on our live file on DK Pittsburgh Sports in all capital letters when it occurred. I was most impressed by the offense being able to stay diverse whenever it got in trouble. Like, I even as I'm watching that in the first half, I'm thinking, just run the ball. Or then when that didn't work, just throw the ball. But they stayed diverse, and then they started doing some of their swag stuff, the stuff that you and I have been reporting throughout the offseason.
They had a 25-yard on an end around and things
on
of that nature.
Really pretty play, the one to Chase Claypool that almost was a touchdown down here in this corner. They did a lot of things, and they started to look like they played with a little bit of confidence too, didn't they?
Yeah, and again, it goes back to what we talked about at the start of this. You're doing this for the first time with six guys who have never played in front of an NFL crowd before. There was bound to be some jitters there. There was bound to be some hiccups, and we saw that early. But they persevered because the defense allowed them to stay in the game.
And we will talk about the defense right after this. Welcome back. As promised, we're going to talk about this defense. But before we do, Dale and I looked at each other, which we don't do all that often in the press conference settings, when Mike Tomlin said this about that group.
You know, we just play Steeler D. We respect Josh Allen. We respect their group. They're a challenging group. But, you know, I got an expectation that our defensive unit is going to be in every football game like that. And I'm just being bluntly honest with you.
That was like a brag.
A little bit.
A little bit.
From a guy who doesn't brag a lot.
Doesn't do that a whole lot. That was a come and get it.
You know, they only had two sacks in this game as a defense. But they drew four holding penalties early in that football game.
And could have drawn
a bunch more. But I thought that affected the way the Buffalo played the game the rest of the way. Instead, you saw Josh Allen come out early and take some shots down the field. And then they started. They realized early on that they couldn't keep the Steelers' pass rushers at bay. So they started, you know, dinking and dunking. And Josh Allen in this game averaged fewer yards per pass than Ben Roethlisberger did for much of this game. And that's not who he is. He's one of the best deep ball throwers in the league. And they couldn't throw the deep ball because they just didn't have the time to do it.
And one of the things that I appreciated, Cam Hayward was talking afterward, T.J. Watt brought this up himself, is that they feel like it's a mutual feeding off. It's not just the pass rush that's making life easier and cutting down on the deep ball, though that's obviously completely correct. It's also that they did have tight coverage. If you look at the passes that Allen completed, particularly the touchdown that happened right here on this letter B.
Cam Sutton had great coverage.
Cam Sutton was all over. Who was it already? Gordon.
Wasn't McKenzie. It was one of their other.
Gordon something.
Yeah. But doesn't matter.
We'll put it in comments.
Yeah.
Gordon something caught that touchdown here. But Cam was all over him, and the ball was just executed perfectly. That's how good Josh Allen is, but that also tells you how good the coverage was, because who else didn't really make an appearance in this game?
Stephon Diggs was not a factor.
Nope.
You know, he averaged about 6-7 yards a catch. If that's what he's going to, you know.
Wrap and tackle.
Just you let him. You're not going to shut a guy like that down. But when he catches the football, he attracts a lot of attention, and they tackled the catch. They didn't let him get anything after the catch.
Actually, I don't know that they let anybody do that. Was there an instance? I can't pop up one off the top of my head here. And this was another point that Cam Hayward made, was that there was nothing extra.
Yeah.
Okay, they were going to connect on passes. They're good at what they do, but how much are you going to give them? And they put the cap on it was the word he used. On it.
They didn't allow a lot of stuff down the field. They didn't allow a lot of catch and run. Yeah, the Bills got a little bit on the ground there in the fourth quarter, but the Steelers have been daring them to run the football the entire game. They played almost exclusively nickel and dime in that game, and Buffalo just wouldn't do it until, you know, the game was, you know, they were down two scores. You want to run the football in that situation, have at it. And so the Steelers let them do that. And then the offense comes back out and gets a score of its own to put it back up two scores.
Yeah, and this defense, when you're talking about how good it could possibly be, there are still some variables. There are some moving parts, literally.
A lot of moving
parts.
Yeah.
Okay. Cam Sutton going inside and outside. And I have to ask you, because this was something that you observed as the game was going on here, and I actually didn't even have a chance to follow up with you on that, but you noticed some unusual movement at inside linebacker and some unusual usage.
Yeah, I mean, they were taking Devin Bush off at times and leaving Schobert on. I think that's why, because they wanted to play more zone in this game than man. That could change in future games if they want to play more man against a team. Then I think Bush stays on the field as your dime linebacker. They were flipping guys. You know, sometimes you'd see James Pierre on the outside. Sometimes they would leave Sutton on the outside and play Arthur Millette, or they, you know, Trey Norwood.
It was a lot of Trey Norwood.
Early, not as much late.
Yeah.
But even when they went to the dime, it was still Trey Norwood in there. So there was a lot of moving parts there, and you know, to be able to have that kind of success with that many moving parts, also shows that everybody was on the same page, which isn't difficult to do. And you're bringing guys off the bench, and hey, you're going to play 10 snaps this week.
Oh, it can be tough.
You know, you can get where you get your penalties for too many men on the field, things of that nature. And it just didn't happen in this game.
No, and then of course there's the case of Robert Spillane coming up with the shin, and it creating an opportunity for another young man.
Absolutely, but just a good all-around win. I can't overlook the special teams contribution to this as well. You know, Ben Roethlisberger made sure he called out Danny Smith when he was leaving the podium.
Yeah, he did too. Nice job, Danny Smith.
Big punt blocker.
Which no one was saying, by the way, on the initial kick return.
No.
And by the way, I'm referring to Buddy Johnson, of course, who ended up coming in, who was called out by Mike Tomlin. By name, he shouldn't have been ready to play. He knew he was going to be inactive.
They tell him Friday or Saturday, mm-hmm. Hey, you're going to be inactive today.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, hey.
Oh, go ahead and make your NFL debut. So that meant that how many of the Steelers draft picks were out here? Six?
Yeah.
Has to be six.
Yeah.
That's pretty impressive for day one. The whole thing was impressive. We'll do another one of these tomorrow.
Download the BetQL app and use the discount code. This is important, DKPS, at payment. Check out for 25% off any subscription. BetQL.co/DKPS.